Dude, all I can tell you right now,
I'm so glad my desk chair has wheels on it because I'm having to use it today. I'm probably going to have to like wheel myself into the kitchen to get a sandwich or something like that. My legs are killing me. Squats, after not doing them for a year, they hurt, man. Ooh.
It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to run through another NFL draft prospect profile is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, you ready to talk some Brevin Jordan, my friend?
Yeah, it's always interesting to break down these tight ends after Kyle Pitts. We talked about Pat Freiermuth earlier in the week, and Brevin Jordan, like, super, super interesting prospect. There's definitely some concerns I have, but you can tell just from watching him and looking at his profile that there's a massive ceiling to be had here, so.
Yeah, man, I mean, we kind of spit some love about Brevin Jordan. Well, I'd say we, in conjunction with one of our previous guests, Pat Crane, stopping by. So tune into our two-round rookie mock draft that we ran through with Pat. He had a lot of love for Brevin Jordan, so check that out. Before we get this kicked off, man, you are looking to try to capitalize on all these rookie values. Getting into these best ball drafts early, you got to be heading to Underdog. Use the promo code FTN. If you do not like it, which I don't understand how that's even possible, but if you don't, they will honor a money-back guarantee up to $100. They will refund you in the first month. Head over there. Get into this action today. New tournaments, new drafts are popping off every single day. And who knows? You might catch me and Adam out in these streets, out in these drafts, man. I'm up all night, hours of the night and day doing these drafts. So I'll see you in the room. Let's get drafting. Let's get winning some money. Adam, let's get this kicked off. Let's dive into some Brevin Jordan here. Four-star prospect per 24/7 Sports, standing at 6'3", 245 pounds. You got a guy that is 90th percentile college dominator, 78th percentile college yards per reception, ran a 4.73 adjusted 40 at his pro day. And I know a lot of people were expecting, myself included, for him to run a little bit faster. Breakout age stands at 18.1, baby, 99th percentile. A guy that really kind of stepped into his own, and you saw him kind of take on more of this pass game for Miami as he went through his collegiate career. Now, the breakout age is early, but if you look at his production as he went along, 287 receiving yards, 495 receiving yards, 576 in this last season, and the target share slowly creeping up to 13.9% with 7 receiving touchdowns in this final season. I mean, the guy, the physical acumen is there, man. I mean, ever since he was a prospect coming out of high school, he was the top prospect or one of the top prospects for tight ends in the country. Had over 1,000 yards receiving in his senior year of high school and 13 receiving touchdowns. What sticks out to you about Brevin Jordan just from a production standpoint?
Yeah, you definitely like the breakout age to start with. That's always good to see. You look at his where he lined up was basically used as a huge slot receiver in his final year at Miami. He was only in line 48 snaps, was in the slot 166 snaps. I think he is a player when you look at his when you look at his production that the target share, like, we have to be careful with target share numbers for tight ends in college because we talk about we don't see tight ends as huge parts of the offense. So when he gets a 14% target share in his final year at Miami, it's actually a better number than you might think. He was pretty like consistent throughout his entire 3-year tenure at Miami as well. So I think he has a good production profile. I will say with the pro day, I was expecting like his pro day wasn't anywhere near as good as I think most people thought it would be. So like we talked about, like, everybody has Kyle Pitts in their own tier at tight end, and then I think Pat Freiermuth in his own tier, and then I think Brevin Jordan's next up. But that doesn't mean Brevin Jordan's a bad player. I just think the other two tight ends we talked about are a little bit better. Not a little bit better. I think Kyle Pitts is obviously a lot bit better, and Freiermuth's a little bit better than Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Pitts is in his own tier. I mean, currently looking at, before we know where these guys are going to land, assuming that because Brevin Jordan's EDP is sitting at 75 right now, so looking at a guy that at least projected right now to go in the third round, so that's where I'm going to look at him at. I think that Freiermuth, Hunter Long, and him are all in the same tier for me, and for different reasons. Now, if Brevin Jordan falls to the fourth round, that's going to change where I think that, you know, where he kind of sits for me in this class. But I like him, man. I mean, and you talked about his usage in this last season. 67.3%, he was either in the slot or out wide. Now, if you look at the two previous seasons, he was 55% to 59% in line as a tight end. So, if everybody's going to talk about, well, he wasn't asked to block, he wasn't asked to do all these different things, you kind of telling it yourself and talking about just 2020 overall, because that's not how he was used in the two previous seasons. And we're talking about a guy that, as he went along and through his collegiate career, you saw the production really. He's a guy that we saw grow as a player year over year. Like in 2018, 58th in yards per route run and a 72 tight ends. That's bad, dude. Like, not good at all. But 2019, 13th out of 89 tight ends. This last season, 5th out of 58 tight ends. And these are all like a sample size of 25 or more targets at the tight end position. And a guy that really, he was asked to win with the ball in his hands. Like, over the last 2 years, 8th in yards after catch. This last season, 1st in yards after catch amongst all tight ends. So, looking at usage, looking at how what he was asked to do in Miami, I mean, I think there's a lot there to unpack, Adam. But, I mean, really off the top, like, discussing all of those different points, what sticks out to you?
Yeah, so he's very, very good after the catch, right? Over 9 yards after the catch per reception last year. Was top 5 in missed tackles forced at the position. Like, just because his 40 time and stuff was a little bit underwhelming doesn't mean, like, he's still a very fast player at the position. So, like, just when he gets the ball in his hands, like, and it'll tie into my player comp, but, like, he breaks tackles. He forces missed tackles. Can break tackles, can run around you. Really good footwork as well. And like he was good, like you said, he was lined up out wide. Like he was winning against man coverage out wide as well. So that was something that was really good to see. I think his hands are good. I think they could be a little bit better. He's for me like a solid handed player, but he's not like, I don't think he's going to be a guy that like he, like, we'll talk about his weaknesses, but he wasn't the greatest contested catch guy, but right away, like the first strength was how good he is after the catch.
I definitely agree. I mean, and that's something that jumped out to me. And you look at a guy that over his collegiate career, 12.9 yards per reception. Adam, 8 of that was after the catch. So, I mean, looking at how he was used in Miami and what he was able to do with the ball in his hands, I mean, the guy's a receiving weapon. And I think that yes, he was used on a lot of screens. Yes, he was used versus zone coverage and basically... people will talk about the route running. I think he runs fine routes, man. Like, I saw suddenness to his routes. I saw the ability to get separation, especially in this last season of playing a lot from the slot. It wasn't just screens. And really, that's something I wanted to look at with Brevin Jordan because I've heard it discussed. I've heard it talked about, like, that he was just using a lot of screens. He wasn't used on a ton of them, man. Like, 2018 to 2019, 18.5% of his targets were screens. This last year, 17.3%. I mean, the usage is there, but it's not a ton if you're talking about overall. He's not freaking Rondell Moore at the damn tight end position. So the guy was running routes. I felt like he was good as a route runner, able to gain separation. I saw some suddenness and some good releases off the line. Now, as far as his, I think that his abilities after the catch, breaking tackles, obviously stood out to me. I also want to talk about this too, man, because people will look at him as a receiving option. I don't think enough love gets thrown to Brevin Jordan and his abilities as a blocker as well. And you look at a guy that, if you go all the way back to 2018, as soon as he hit the collegiate level, good grades as far as pass protection. Now, is he a good standout run blocker? No. Can he block in line and when he's asked to pass protect? Yes. Over 133 pass protection snaps over his collegiate career. Only 3 hurries and 4 pressures allowed. So can he succeed at this at the next level? I think that he can. And, I put it out on Twitter. Go check my timeline. There are multiple clips on his film of him being a dog as a blocker. Like, coffining dudes. Stuffing them to the ground. So I like that, and I don't know if that gets enough love for Brevin Jordan, man. Like, I hear a lot about his receiving abilities. I don't hear a lot of people giving him enough praise, or at least respect being put on his name as a blocker.
Yeah. And it's tough when, like, Pat Freiermuth is just a much better blocker, and I think that has a lot to do with it. But, especially because, when you don't line up in line a ton, especially like last year at Miami, like you don't see as much blocking snaps, obviously. So it's not really in your head. And especially like for fantasy, like we were looking for the highlight reel plays after the catch and the great receptions and stuff like that. But I always have valued blocking. I don't think Brevin Jordan, like Kyle Pitts, if Kyle Pitts weren't this like elite like athlete and physical freak and prospect, like, probably would be talking about his blocking more, but obviously Brevin Jordan's not there as a player, so he's not going to go in the top 10 picks or whatever, but like I talked about, like there is serious potential and upside with Brevin Jordan for sure.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. I think that the upside is there to be had, and if you're looking at different, and we're talking about all the different tight ends in this class, I think that he is, I'd say he's a better blocker than Kyle Pitts. If you look at what Kyle Pitts put on film, I'm not saying that Kyle Pitts is bad. I think Brevin Jordan's a better blocker than him. Is he as good of a blocker as Pat Freiermuth? No. Is he as good of a blocker as Hunter Long? I think that he's better. Honestly, from what I've seen both on paper and on film, just on the games that I watched, I think as a pass protector, he's better. I think Freiermuth is the guy that I could say is head and shoulders above him as a blocker. And the ability as a full complement all the way around skill set tight end. But Brevin Jordan, man, I mean, the receiving skills are there, and I don't think that he's going to get enough love as a blocker for what he was able to do during his time at college. But discussing all of these things that we think that he does well, what are some areas that you think that he can improve on in transitioning to the NFL?
Yeah, so I don't think he's the greatest in terms of contested catch opportunities. He, according to PFF, just 2 contested catches last year. Like, that's pretty bad. And he got opportunities, too. It wasn't as if they didn't give him contested catch opportunities. So I don't know how much of a red zone weapon he's going to be, at least as a, you know, jump ball, go up and get it type of player. Didn't have the greatest catch radius and stuff like that. And then we talked about, I don't know if he's a bad blocker. He just doesn't have a ton of experience. So when he gets to the NFL and he's, you know, got to learn all these assignments and blocking schemes and stuff like that, is he going to be able to pick up on that right away? Those are some of the concerns I have. I don't want to say the pro day is a weakness. It was more of a surprise. I thought he'd be a lot better in the pro day, but I don't think it, like, what you pegged him as, what, a 3rd-round pick all along, probably? Like, I don't think that pro day is going to knock him out of the 3rd round, so.
No, I think if he would have, like, crushed his pro day, maybe we would be talking about him as a late second. Yep, you hit the nail on the head. I think that could have pushed him possibly into the late second. But going in the 3rd round, it's not the coffin nail for him.
No, we'll talk about my comp for him went in the 3rd round that we'll talk about next. So it's like, it's not.
If he goes in the 4th round, we're having a different conversation. If he stays in the top 3 rounds, then I'm still in on it. You know, I mean, I think that, like we talked about him, where he ranks in this tight end class, I'm still with it, man. But I'm with you as far as, like, his strength of the catch point. And I think that's something that needs to be brought up, because we talked about Freiermuth. Go back to, and people need to tune into that episode. I discussed and I told you he's going to be a red zone weapon from day 1. I don't think that's going to be the case with Brevin Jordan. You talked about the contested catches. Over his collegiate career, 33 attempts at contested catches, only came down with 11 of them. That's not good, man. And you can say what you want. And we talked about this before. You can say what you want about, like, and we talked about this before when we were discussing Seth Williams. you could say what you want about the quarterback play, and that does factor into contested catch situations and ball placement. But I do think that there are enough instances on film for Brevin Jordan where you would like to see him a little bit stronger at the catch point and come down with some of these tougher catches, either when contested or in traffic, that I think that there's a layer of context there, maybe quarterback play, but also that some of those are on him as well. So I think it's a really good point because you look at him in his transition to the NFL and his ability to stretch the seam and work downfield and win after the catch. I think that he has those in his game, but is he going to be a guy that you're literally going to be counting on? And we talk about the lifeblood of tight ends and touchdown production. Is he a guy that I think is going to really be like somebody you could see in your mind's eye garnering 7-8 touchdowns in a season? Probably not. So does that take away a little bit of his ceiling? Yeah, I think it does. Unless he becomes a highly utilized weapon in a passing offense. And I know I've talked a lot about like his blocking. Again, I need to bring it up here. I think that he is a better inline pass protector than he is as far as being asked to block on the run or block in the run game. I think that that is an area that he needs to sit here and work on his technique. I think that's something that he needs to work on the transition to the next level as far as run blocking. The pass protection, I don't have really any concerns or as many concerns in that area as I do with him as a run blocker. But where do you stand, Adam, as far as you talked about it, you kind of teased it a little bit. Where do you stand as far as your comp for Brevin Jordan, and where do you see him going in the NFL draft?
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Jonnu Smith. We know Jonnu's been, it's been him and George Kittle as the best after the catch tight ends in the NFL the last couple years. And Jonnu not really like got, he has some limitations as a blocker, which is probably why he was not an every down player like we want him to be at Tennessee when we saw Anthony Firkser get playing time and Michael Pruitt. Both are really good after the catch. Both aren't used. If you watch how they're using the red zone, you don't see Jonnu Smith when they're inside the 10-yard line get jump balls or contested catch. It's handoffs a lot of the times. It's like quick little, you know, drags and outs. Like, I think they're going to be used in very similar ways. Jonnu also a third-round pick in the NFL draft when he came into the league. So that's that was my comp. And I think, you know, size-wise, they're very similar. You know, about 6'3", 250. And I think the way they win and the way that they succeed on the field are both pretty much identical. So Jonnu was the relatively easy comparison for me.
Yeah, and I'm in a similar ballpark. My range of comps for him was Irv Smith and Eric Ebron. And I know people are going to hear Irv Smith pour out of my mouth. And yes, I mean, look, you look at the size, you look at some of the athleticism, catch radius, things of that nature. I like Irv Smith a lot. I actually like that more than I like Ebron. I think that's kind of the bucket where I'm at with Brevin Jordan. And as a player, we're looking at the next level. I mean, y'all have all heard me sit here and hype up Irv Smith. Love him as a prospect. So, I mean, does that lean into how I feel about Brevin Jordan? Sure. But, I mean, the other thing about it is, like, there are comparables there. Whether you want to talk about size, whether you want to talk about, in Irv Smith, he was a second-round pick. If Brevin Jordan was maybe in a different tight end class, if he had done a few different things in his pro day, we're talking about, would he have fallen in possibly as a second-round pick? Yeah, possibly, man. So, I think that's kind of the range of where I sit as far as his comps. And teams that I think could take a shot on Brevin Jordan. Like, we've talked about it, and Adam, you and I have discussed as far as tight end spots. So a lot of the same teams here, but the Chargers make some sense at 78. If they address other parts of the team, go cornerback, go offensive line early. Jared Cook, and I'm sorry for all the Donald Parham truthers out there, he's not going to be a thing. So could they go Brevin Jordan, get the move tight end at 78? Think that's possible. A few of the teams that stick out here, Jacksonville at 65, possible. But I think that for the archetype and where he could fit, I think they probably more likely go with another guy a little bit earlier. But if they don't, Brevin Jordan can make some sense. The Jets at 66 and Carolina at 73, I think, are all other possibilities as well. But where do you see him going possibly as far as team fits in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those teams were exactly where I was going. I'll throw in with a potential, you know, third, fourth round pick. it would probably only happen if he fell to the fourth round. But Logan Thomas is going to be 30. You know, he had one good year. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington took a shot on Brevin Jordan in the third or fourth round if I had to choose another team other than the ones we mentioned. But, yeah, I mean, if Jacksonville, I think they're going to go eventually Pat Freiermuth with the first pick of the second round. But if they don't, they're still going to need a tight end, and Brevin Jordan will be there in the third round for them with that 65th overall pick. And then, yeah, a lot of the teams you mentioned, I totally agree, especially the Chargers, too. I think that would be a pretty good fit for him.
Yeah, I think it'd be a really good fit, and especially if you're looking at how, like, Lombardi's used a lot of his skill players in the past, I think he'd be a sneaky good spot for him, man. I mean
Tennessee also wouldn't be, like, Tennessee would make sense, too.
I was going to
bring
them up. They
obviously know what they had in Janu, very similar player, would fit, I know it's a new offense, but would fit right in with Ryan Tannehill and those guys, especially because
they
love,
we talked
after the catch ability.
We definitely talked about previously as well how high they run 12 personnel, the fact that, like, everybody's, you know, loving Anthony Firkser right now. I really think Tennessee is a quiet spot for somebody, for them to add a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that definitively could happen. And look, Tennessee sees the same thing that you do, and they see Janu and Brevin Jordan. Yeah, I mean, I like the landing spot, man. All right, everyone, that is our prospect profile for Brevin Jordan. Again, Adam and I are going to be back discussing more of these prospects as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. Michael Florio also stopping by, going to run through a mock draft 3.0 with us on Thursday. Tune into that episode. We are going to be very quickly, only 1 week away from the NFL draft. For Faith the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.